So I'll press my button here.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for August 18th, 2015. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Davis, Gamble, and Gearing.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing, will you lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Councilmember Camp had indicated that he wouldn't be here this evening at a earlier meeting, so he will be considered excused unless Council has disagreement with that. Also, I'd like to go ahead and switch the two items under announcements and presentations. The presentation for the Monroe Fair Days Parade will be, I'm sorry, for Monroe Fair Days will be fairly short, like that staff can, from the county can leave to go do other things or stick around and listen to Senator Pearson. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and do Proclamation 2015 Monroe Fair Days Parade. I'm focused on the parade. So, Proclamation, Monroe Fair Days. Whereas the first agricultural display in Snohomish County was held in 1874, making the Evergreen State Fair one of the oldest in Washington, and whereas the fair began in downtown Monroe in 1908 at the former Independent Order of Odd Fellows Hall and grounds on North Lewis Street, moved to its current location in 1945 and has become the largest county fair in the Pacific Northwest. And whereas the fair offers entertainment for people of all ages and includes a carnival, amusement rides, crafts, exhibits, races, concerts, fireworks, animals, fun contests, there wasn't a comma there, music acts, dancers, roving entertainers, and Western Heritage Museum. Whereas the fair draws approximately 340,000 visitors annually from all over Washington and the Pacific Northwest, bringing $3 million in revenue into Snohomish County, with much of it benefiting the Monroe community. And whereas our entire community is involved with the fair, including the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, which organizes the Fair Days Parade, and the Sky Valley Food Bank, which conducts a food drive during the fair. And whereas the theme for the 2015 Evergreen State Fair is Picture the Fun. And whereas the Monroe Fair Days Parade will be held on August 29th in downtown Monroe. And whereas the City of Monroe and the community values the benefits derived from the Evergreen State Fair and Monroe Fair Days Parade, now I, therefore, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim the 12 days, August 27th through September 7th, as Monroe Fair Days in the City of Monroe, Washington, and encourage residents, businesses, and visitors to participate in the Evergreen State Fair and Monroe Fair Days Parade. So, with that, I invite the chair of the Evergreen State Fair Board up, Mr. Rick Merrill, and also Una Workabaugh from the Chamber, to receive a copy of the proclamation. And I thank both of your organizations for the fine work that you do for our community. Thank you very much.
So I wanted to say thank you to everyone, and in celebration, I did bring you all some new ID cards.
Yay!
All
right.
Friends are all caught together.
Blue, too.
Nice.
And one for you.
Just pass them around.
You got it.
Very, very nice.
It's not a football.
I like passing that way.
Awesome. Thank you, Una.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for supporting us during this fabulous event downtown.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, the next item that we have on our agenda is a presentation from our Senator Pearson. Senator Pearson, please come on forward, and thank you.
It's good to see all of you, and Mayor, I'm not used to speaking in front of so many people behind me, so I asked Chief Quinzer to stand behind me. Anyhow, I'd be remiss if there's a few people just to recognize. We have our former mayor here, Donetta Walzer. It's good to see you back in the council chamber. And also someone I served with when I first got involved in politics back in 1989 as a planning commissioner, Bob Martin. Bob and I were on the planning commission together and learned a lot from Bob. I learned how to sweep chimneys. No, but and then also one other guest in the back when I was first elected in 2000, another gentleman was elected with me, and his name is Mike Armstrong, former representative from the State House from the 12th District. Mike and I did a lot of legislation together, and it's, for me, it's a special surprise to see him here tonight. So, Mike, it's welcome to Monroe. Anyhow, I wanted to, you know, I read the Monroe Monitor, and I know you had your other legislators here, and I didn't want to touch on anything really that they touched on, and because I didn't want you to, I guess, hear the same old thing. But I wanted to talk about what I worked on, a few things, and if you have questions, that's fine. And but this year was a very good year for myself, and I've never had so many bills that I sponsored that I've worked on for a number of years and go through the process. A couple of them I got them through. Actually, it was a blessing for special session because I was able to get them through the rest of the way to the governor's desk during special session. And I'll just go through the list of bills because they, of course, have statewide interest. And one that was really important to me, I've worked for many years. I'm chairman of Natural Resources, but I'm also on the Law and Justice Committee. And I've done a lot of legislation in the past on domestic violence. And this bill meant a lot because I worked on it with a victim of domestic violence. And this person was nearly murdered by her estranged boyfriend, and a very horrific story. And she's a spokesperson going out around the country talking about it, but her story was so compelling. I remember when I first met her, it wasn't long, about 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't long after I met her, a number of correctional officers wanted to meet me to meet this lady, and found out we had a glitch in our state laws because her abuser was, he never was caught, let's say, abusing women. And what this person did, well, he literally was looking, trying to kill the person. And unfortunately, the way our sentencing was, it was his first time, so less than 2 years behind bars. But when he got out, this was a terrifying part. There was no community supervision because our laws did not provide that. So working with Barbara Holland and from the Washington Domestic Violence Association, we passed Senate Bill 5070, and from now on, first time domestic violence offenders will be under supervision when they get out of prison. And I think that has the potential to save lives because you know, you can't keep people in forever, but and people say, well, that was the first time, but studies show there is a pattern. And Patsy, you probably know you with your work in YMCA, I know you work on those issues, so I was very proud of that. It took me, I think, about 4 years to finally get that through. Another bill, as you all know, in my district, I've dealt with a devastating landslide in the middle of my district up in Oso, but it gave great opportunity, you know, even after a tragic event, to find what can we do to prevent such landslides. And Peter Goldmark, who is our Commissioner of Public Lands, I met with him and also the state geologists not long after the landslide, And we talked about how can we better protect, and you know, disasters come and go, but we could be better prepared, because I know the city, you have plans, you want to be prepared for any disaster. And I'm proud to say I worked on this issue with Commissioner Goldmark, and it's regarding geological hazard mapping. And what that is, it's using technology such as LIDAR, and the state would start mapping suspect areas around the state that they think that there could be a hazard, even along our coastlines. And with that, they would do it like a year later, and, you know, so we would know that, you know, if there is potential sloughing of the ground, or if that could be a potential hazard site. So we passed that. We got the funding and the budget for that. But with that, the Department of Natural Resources, they will be a new resource. They will keep the maps in the city of Monroe anytime before you're looking at, you know, I don't know if there's a subdivision or a short plat or something like that. You want to get a good look, and if it looks suspect, you'll be able to go to the Department of Natural Resources and see if that could potentially be dangerous ground. So very happy about that. Just a few other bills I wanted to talk about, and one Chris came down from the monitor, and it was exciting because a constituent up the road in Salton came up with an idea about giving at-risk youth group fishing permits. And it's something that it was just a perfect bill, and tremendous support. I was very excited to get that through because, you know, my vision for the future is, I'm telling everybody my grandiose vision, but I care for the troubled youth, and there's a lot of kids that do not have that opportunity to get out and enjoy our natural resources in the state of Washington. And with that passing, there'll be that opportunity for YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, and others to get group fishing permits to go out and understand our resources. And I'm working with a friend of mine, Senator Hasegawa, who has most of central Seattle and in the Rainier Valley, and we're going to be working to get kids out, and also in my district too. And Bob Clement from Salton was the one that gave me such an idea, so I was really excited about that. And in the years to come, I want to see how that goes. And because I'm sure once you get the kids out, you know, there'll be kids that will want someday to buy their own license and give back to the resource. So that's kind of my little vision, if you want to know what makes Kirk's tick. You know, it's one of many things. But a couple other bills I wanted to talk about were Arlington Marysville is in my district. They have a large industrial land area, over 1,000 acres. And they brought to me an idea about best use of their land. And I did a pilot project. We started there. And with that, if a company would like to come in to, let's say, Arlington or Marysville, and they put in a facility, if they have at least 25 jobs and a certain income for those jobs, there'll be a 10-year local tax write-off on that. It doesn't affect the state portion of the property tax or local school levy dollars. But it is a way to try to draw business, and it's something, you know, it was hard to get it through because when I introduced the bill, Pierce County wanted it in all these other areas, but we started there and want to see how that works, and maybe something Monroe would like to look at in the future to do something like that. Also, another part of my district up in Skagit County, I worked with Department of Enterprise Services, and we have the old Northern State Complex up there, and Peter Janicki, the Janicki family, I've known for many years. Peter, a local guy who has done many things, and he's developed he's in Senegal right now, I believe. But he developed a machine where you could take even human waste and treat it and come out with clean water, the technology, and solving some of the water issues in Africa. And they're looking at putting a facility at the Northern State Complex. And I worked with the family and Department of Enterprise Service to allow for long-term leases on our state land, and so with the Port of Skagit County, but it's economic development. So I've been working on a lot of different things, and it's just a little sampling of what I've done this year, but I don't know how much time I have, but I want to be respectful and I want to keep you here till 10. But I do want to bring up something I don't think any of the my other colleagues brought up, having a great summer. It's great to get away after three sessions and come home just take a good breather. And I got to see my grandkids. They're all out of state, but that was wonderful. And I'll share that story later with everybody. But this last week, with the Supreme Court stating that we're not on track to properly fund education and threatening the legislature, to me, is totally offensive. It's has the potential to create a constitutional crisis. And what I'm talking about, and if you don't know what's going on, there was a decision a number of years ago called the McCleary decision, which says we are, as a state, are not adequately funding our schools. And, you know, as a father, all five of my sons went to school here in Monroe, and as did my parents and my grandparents. And so I have a long history, and brother is a teacher, and my middle son's getting married next year, and she's starting school as a teacher. And so it's something we're really proud of. This year, you know, we understood the lawsuit, and that was fine, the McCleary decision, because for a lot of years, what the state, you know, since our state constitution, that is the paramount duty to deal with our public schools and to fund them. But the funding level has gone down to a record lower level. I think it was around low 40s. But what we did in the legislature, and I know you watched the news during the special session, and it created a lot of frustration. But at the same time, you know, not everybody agrees with each other, and that's the beauty of it. And I know all of you don't agree with each other, too. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But when you go through sessions like that, you bring out priorities and where you want to go, and you know, it came out where we shook hands. We were very proud of what we did for public education, and even our universities and colleges this year, because next year there will be a 5% tuition cut, and at the next biennium there will be a 15% to the regional universities, a 10%, another 10% cut to UW and WSU. And unfortunately, my son graduated, so he doesn't take advantage of that. But hopefully you have kids that will be able to. And it will affect over 200,000 kids. And that's a wonderful thing. And that we made that a priority for our K-12. Now, getting back to, priority for our colleges, but getting back to K-12, and why I'm really concerned about this is right now our spending level is 47% of the budget now is going to go to K-12, which we believe we're on track. We have till 2018 because of the McCleary decision. And last biennium, we put in $1 billion. This biennium, it's 2.7, another $2.5 to $2.7 billion. And we even addressed the initiative this year through our capital budget. And I'm talking about the classroom size reduction. We couldn't do everything. But with that, we were helping K-3. So it's been the legislature's intention to help our schools. We get it. The legislature gets it. But I'm very concerned with the Supreme Court coming out and saying we're going to levy a fine of $100,000 a day, and they want it all now. The only way you could do it, so it makes you wonder, okay, they're not stupid people. There are justices and there are people that get elected like myself, but the only way to do that would be like, what, a capital gains tax or a state income tax? But the legislature, we've proven that we are making adequate progress to fully fund education. And that's in all our hearts. We want to help our schools. I felt bad. I knew a lot of teachers were frustrated. A lot of them were like pawns in this. And it's not the intention of the legislature. We do care, every legislator in Olympia. But the state Supreme Court, they're over exceeding their constitutional limits here by trying to make us do their will to that certain extent. And their will is to try to put together a new tax for the people. And that's difficult, and it's creating, I know, a lot of frustration among the entire legislature at this time. But, you know, regardless of what way they do, we in the legislature will still progress. And we're hoping to get there by 2018. Our revenue forecasts are coming well. Since the last couple months, our last one, our state is up another $125 million more dollars, and that was announced last week. So we're making that progress, but I'm just telling you, a possible constitutional crisis. You know, it's they way exceeded their authority, the state Supreme Court, on this one, because we're getting there. We're working hard to get there, and we understand. We understand employer decision, but we can't do it all at once. So, and we have till 2018. So we are very proud of the progress we're making, but the courts, they're not proud. Apparently, they don't appreciate what we're doing. But at least when I'm going out, I've been out visiting a number of people on community events. I've talked to teachers and superintendents, and they're delighted how things are going. So just warning you, I don't know what it means. I don't think we need to go back to special session, because then you're saying, well, the courts are right. They have that power over us. No, we're not clerks for the court. You know, you have your three branches of government. You have your legislative, the executive, and judicial. And we don't try to be governors, and I don't try to be a Supreme Court justice or anything like that. So it's creating a little angst among all of us, and I'm sorry I took so long, but I wanted to explain that and let you know that the Supreme Court is causing a lot of problems right now and creating more confusion. So anyhow, I know no one else talked about that, so I wanted to bring that up to all of you. But again, I've enjoyed this year, and it was, again, a successful year, and Cameron Bailey's still with me. And you know, whatever you need, give us a call. And and also, for your next capital budget request, hit me up early before I go down, and let me know what you're working on and everything. But we're happy about the Lake Tice Skate Park for $120,000. And Mayor, thanks for coming down. You came down a day before all the requests were supposed to be put in. The timing was great. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thanks, Senator Pearson. It's so good to see you again, and welcome back. Just wanted to say I appreciate your service and everything you've done and continue to do for our community, and appreciate you being willing to work with the other side and being strong on those points that we need to stand strong on, and those, and being flexible and negotiating when you need to. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman. Well, you know, you're not effective. I'll be my 16th year, and if you can't work with everybody, there's no reason being there. So, you know, I'm very blessed. I have a lot of friends and a lot of good stories, and Mike back there, our former Representative Armstrong, we could tell you a lot. That's how we were able to get a lot of things done, just working with and building trust, just like what you do amongst each other. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Pearson, I really appreciated the time that we had when Gene and I were down there in February or January. And I mentioned this to council, I was amazed at how when we just threw out there how we'd like to do some projects in town that you went ahead and asked Cameron to bring in a couple forms for us to fill out. And I really appreciated the fact that you were listening, you were looking for opportunities where you could help make a difference here in town. And I truly value the service that you give our community. So thank you very much, Senator Pearson.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. But we got her in. So.
Yes, yes.
Again, the timing.
And we will work earlier next time.
I know you all will.
Yes.
No, that'll be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on this evening's agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comments are limited to 5 minutes per speaker. We have a few people that have already signed in. The first person that we have is Mr. Lowell Anderson. Mr. Anderson, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Lowell Anderson, 129 East Rivermont Drive, Monroe, Washington, 98272. Tonight's subject is the council considers hiring state legislative lobbying service. As previously stated, I am unalterably opposed to the city hiring Minnick's lobbying firm based on Chad Minnick's actions while serving on the Monroe City Council. While on the council, Chad Minnick spent time promoting his father's church property. As an example, Chad Minnick led the effort to weaken the ethics code so his fellow council members would feel comfortable voting on the land issue without violating ethics rules, and this is from the Tribune of March 2010. The vote on the budget amendment would have set aside money for the city to study whether the land should be changed from farmland to commercial at a cost to the city of about $40,000, also from the Tribune, April of 2010. Chad Minnick's further actions on the council contributed to a lawsuit against the city that the city later settled by paying $157,000 in change, plus city's estimated legal fees of approximately $100,000. His father's church property, rezoned from limited open space to general commercial, is still unresolved after hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money spent. Using a single source is a bad idea, in my opinion, and poor public policy. So tonight, please consider Mr. Mike Armstrong, another qualified lobbying firm with a proven track record. And last, why would the city reward Chad Minnick's questionable actions while on the council with a lobbying contract? Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who has signed up to speak is Danetta Walzer. Mrs. Walzer, please come forward.
Videotape?
No, ma'am. It's audio.
Do you mind if I stand over here? I'm always uncomfortable with my back to an audience.
That's fine. Yes, ma'am.
Donetta Walzer. I have to think twice. 850 Village Way. I debated a while about coming tonight, but I think you can benefit from my experience. I was fortunate that we have local legislators that always open their door. But, and when I'd go to Olympia for a cause, which was often, they were there. But US 2 Safety Coalition hired a lobbyist. And this happened to be Gordon Walgren and Rick Jensen, and their main goal was to help us get funding and let us know when there was something coming up that we could hit, you know. So it was invaluable, but we can't, and I know you can't, keep running to Olympia. So this was really valuable. They also, besides representing US 2, they represented other cities and groups. I was in Olympia, and we were down to the wire on funding for the Miracle League field. If we didn't come up with some money, we would lose all the grants we had. So I thought, well, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm not always traditional, as my grandson said, you think outside the box. I made 8x10 photos of most of the kids. And we were sitting having lunch, and I asked Rick Jensen, I said, how do I get in? Our legislators are aware, but this was across the field. And he said, I'll take care of it. He looked at him, and this was not what... He said, I will help you. He said, this is beyond belief. So I said, where do I start? And he said, I'll take care of it. So he made some phone calls. And he said, you have 5 minutes to present your case. So I did. I dropped off the photos, and he knew who to see. And I kept 5 minutes. But they ended up approving $50,000 to finish the field. Now, without his contacts, this would never have happened. I think you need to look further, cast a wider net on your applicants. Now, you have the right to reject them all and start over, and I recommend you do, because since I heard that you were short on applicants, I have to confess, a lot of the lobbyists do not read the Monroe Monitor, the Everett Herald, and they don't always have access to AWC. So you've got to look for further advertisements. And there are a lot of really good lobbyists here. Strategies 360. They have representatives at almost every major meeting. There are several others. Mike Armstrong comes fairly highly recommended, but I think you need to explore as many options as possible. Lots of cities have lobbyists, like the city of Everett, Mukilteo has Sean Sullivan, and they are great at stating the city's interest in working. But you need someone that can work across the board with all legislators. And you also need someone that has contacts with the federal delegation. And because things do come up. We went, Jed and I paid our own way to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby for US 2. And the timing was right. And this is where a lobbyist can be invaluable. But you've got to get the right one. You've got to get one that's respected and one that has a track record. That's my opinion. Anyway, I hope that you think about this, because you still can reopen your applications, and I think you'll be surprised who you would get if it's done right. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
I'm recovering from hip surgery. But I came.
Thank you very much. Mr. Walzer, Fred Walzer, please come forward when you're ready.
It's going to be a hard act to follow. Members of the council, I'm Fred Walzer. I also live at 850 Village Way. Now, we just bought that house. And it's a privilege to speak to you tonight. I'm going to talk to you on the same subject and ask you to consider either reopening the RFPs or vacating what you've done and start over. And there's a reason. If you recall, 3 months ago, I came before you and talked about the same issue. And I talked about a gentleman that I've worked with for the last 8 years on U.S. 2 Safety Coalition issues in the legislature, and that's Mike Armstrong. And I could talk all day on what I think of him. But better, I had chances this last session to sit back and watch him work and smooth. Hard to get that word out. Anyway, work his contacts. Everybody in Olympia knows Mike Armstrong because he's a 12-year legislator. He's a good Republican, but he gets things done and he doesn't draw attention to himself when he gets legislation passed. He's more than happy to let somebody else take credit. That's not coming from me. That came from Kirk Pearson. And you heard him talk. What I'm trying to suggest to you is I'm nominating, for lack of a better word, a man who will carry the city of Monroe forward in a positive manner that has the ethics, the respect of his fellow lobbyists and former legislators down there. He will get stuff done. His contact list is unbelievable. For instance, Burlington Northern Railroad. He knows who's who in Burlington Northern. You want to get something done, that's the guy that'll get it done for you. He knows our federal legislators on first-name basis. So those are the qualities I believe you need. I've been down in Olympia every single session for 16 years lobbying for our highway out here. And somewhat successfully, we've got about $200 million, thanks in a large part to that guy. Because he was the ranking minority on the House committee when we were getting the funding for the Bickford Avenue flyover and for the rumble strips down the center of US 2 and the two-way left turn lane and your curbing, C-curbing down Highway 2, which had the highest collision rate in the state going at one time with these crossover crashes. It's Mike Armstrong that worked behind the scenes to help us get that money and consequently into the community. So I don't want to waste a lot of your time, but I do highly recommend that you reopen your RFPs and include Mike Armstrong in that in your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person that we have who signed up to speak is Mr. Mike Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, you will come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. Mike Armstrong, 1501 Capitol Way South, Suite 102, Olympia, Washington. And by the way, that's my office address. And if you're familiar with the Capitol, you'll know that that is a block from the Capitol. I have a great view out my window of my office looking right at the dome. And it comes with a parking spot. I even share that with clients once in a while. So I don't know what else I could say. I mean, I'm going to have Fred. I hope I die before Fred because I'd like him to speak at my funeral, I think. I have been a legislator for 12 years. I've been in the lobbying business for 3 now. I worked for Department of Transportation for 21 years. I worked for the Chelan PUD Public Utility District for 5 years and the Port of Chelan County for 6 years before I retired from that and opened up my lobbying business. I'm not going to tell you folks what to do. You know you can open this up again and do it again if you want, especially since you only had one interested party. I used to do those contracts when I worked for DOT. And I have many times rejected all because we only had one or two people apply. And for one reason or another, people didn't get the word that that was out and open. I've been watching you folks, actually, and I missed it somehow. I don't know how. And I've been watching because I believe I could help Monroe. I believe I could help you. I have a strong transportation background. As Fred said, I was the ranking minority member on the House Transportation Committee. I was also the deputy leader of the Republican caucus for a couple of years when I was in Olympia or in the legislature. And that is probably one of the worst jobs you could ever have. Because you browbeat everybody and then every year have to ask them to vote for you again. But I did that for a couple of years. I've been ranking on a number of committees, including housing and state government and tribal affairs. There's just a bunch of committees I served as ranking minority member on. I also served in my time in the legislature. I served with over half of our current congressional delegation representing the state of Washington. And that includes people like Jamie Herrera, Dan Newhouse. I can't remember all their names right off the top of my head, but a lot of good people that are doing good things for the state of Washington, as well as the two senators. I know them very well, too. But I think here's what you need. I think you need somebody, and if you don't open it up again, here's what I would advise you to do. Make sure whoever you hire is watching out for you, and make sure that it's not a surprise to your delegation when you have a fund that, or a request into the capital budget. You should have that into them this fall so that you have the paperwork done and it's ready to go. You should be making contact with the two chairs of the capital budget, Hans Dunshee in the House and Jim Honeyford over in the Senate. Make contact with them, let them know that's coming. One of the jobs I did for the Portage Land County as their lobbyist was to help them with the brownfield cleanup, and we got about $6 million through Department of Ecology from the legislature to clean up a site that nobody would touch. And now we have a great site in Cashmere that the Portage Land County is starting to lease out. And without doing that project, they wouldn't be able to lease that ground because it was contaminated. Old mill site. And we don't have many mills anymore in Wenatchee, so that was a good use of that. But those are the kind of projects I think I could help you with. Transportation is a big one. You guys, I don't know if you know this, you have a mess out here. People won't stop at your businesses because they don't want to try to get back on. We should fix that, and there's ways of doing it. People like Fred and the Safety Coalition for Highway 2 have been doing what they could. They need some help. And you were the folks that could help them. And you could put a feather in your cap and something you'd be proud of the rest of your life and make that right. Anyway, I just appreciate the opportunity to come chat with you. I would have been here sooner if I'd known you were getting real serious about this. I know it's too late at this point, but I have a couple of things I'll leave with your clerk, if that's all right.
Yes.
And if there's ever anything I can do now or in the future, just let me know. I'd be glad to work with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for hearing
me.
And by the way, you got a great senator there, don't you?
Yeah, indeed. Yes.
Love that guy. There you go.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to any issue related to the city of Monroe? Mr. Lipsy? Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Mr. Brian Lipsy, 16925 Chinook Lane, Southeast, Monroe, Washington, 98272. My comments are very short and sweet tonight. I'm going to start out with thank you, Mayor Jeffrey Thomas and Mr. Farrell for working on the flat code. It was something we went rounds about a month ago. Just want to make sure that you know I appreciate your work. And same thing with you, Mr. Farrell. I do appreciate your work. I will also note that the Main Street roundabout flag is ready for replacement. It is frayed and starting to fade.
Thank you.
It happens. The third comment is going to be on, I was surprised that the city would be considering Mr. Minnick for his lobbying needs. I would very much oppose that and encourage you to oppose that and do whatever you need to run away from that. I ran against Mr. Thomas, or Mayor Thomas, in 2003 for city council, and I will tell you that it is because of the toxicity that Mr. Minnick brought to that particular race is one reason why I have never run for any office ever again. That was the most soul-stealing election process that I had ever been through. That's something I'll never do again. You do it once and you swear you'll never do it again. My last one's going to be on the comments on the fireworks, which you guys have later tonight. I'm sorry I can't stick around with it. I do have to work tonight. Part of what I do for 11. Two things I don't see on there is I don't see any provisions for the mayor, the fire marshal, the city council to ban fireworks in the event of an environmental emergency such as a drought, really hot, dry weather like we have right now. This year, one of my friends, the Millers, lost their house to fireworks. There was shortly after that, another family lost their home to fireworks. We need to do something. This weather, if the predictions for this winter are true, next summer is going to be worse than this summer. It's going to be a lot worse. Elk herds are moving, deer herds are moving, fisheries are closing left and right because there's insufficient oxygen in the rivers to support the fish. It's going to get worse. The city, the mayor, this fire marshal need to have some kind of ability to say, no, not at this time. Another note is, as I was traveling through my travels around the state, is I saw a city, I don't remember if it was Kent or Auburn, had banned aerial fireworks completely. Seems like kind of a middle ground there, instead of banning them outright or not banning them outright, kind of in the middle. The thing with fireworks, or aerial fireworks in particular, is you control where they light up, where you light them off. You got no control over where they land. They're subject to wind, they're subject to gravity. Neither one of those we've got mastery over. So we've got no control over where those hot fireworks land. Fortunately, so far I've been fortunate that we've got enough water that can keep our yard fairly wet on 4th of July. That is all my comments. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening on any matter related to the city of Monroe? Great. We're going to go ahead and move on now to the consent agenda. Council members? Councilmember Cutterback.
Before we do that, Mayor, I would like to add the lobbyist service RFP to the agenda for later for discussion, maybe possible action.
Okay. Does anybody oppose having that added to the agenda, and would that be under unfinished business or new business?
Probably unfinished. We have a discussion.
A motion?
Yeah, that needs to be a motion to add.
Yeah.
Also. Does it need to be a motion?
If there's a preference for a motion, so there'd be
okay.
A motion.
Second.
I make a motion. Thank you.
I have a first and I have a second to add that to the agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I absolutely would love to have a discussion. I'd prefer maybe to have it next week so we have a little bit more time to talk about what we want to do. The new information for me tonight, I'd love to have a little bit more time to think about it. Not opposed to having it tonight. I just prefer myself to have it next week. Definitely want to have the conversation. I'd prefer it next to myself. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Basil?
Just a comment. It is added to the Legislative Affairs Committee next Tuesday to review that application.
And I don't know what that... I guess I didn't catch the...
Oh, the comment being that it'll be discussed in the Legislative Affairs Committee on Tuesday at this point in time next week. And of course, later in the agenda, if you want to move that meeting to another night or something so there can be discussion this week and also next week, that's something that can occur also. So. Okay. Any other further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, there's a motion to add this to this evening's agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. So that'll be under unfinished business. We'll go ahead and take that. Let's go ahead and take that as number one. Is that okay with everybody?
Sure.
Steve wants to leave
number two. Number two.
Number two.
I tell you what, we'll go ahead and put it down as number four because we also have H30 utility rates. So there are people that showed up for those items. So we'll put it down as unfinished business item number four.
Thank you.
Okay. I heard the objection from the crowd. All right, consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. So we're now going to move on to unfinished business item number one. This is AB 15-143, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Osaki. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I just have a few brief words and then I'm going to turn the podium over to one of the planning commissioners to give you a little bit of an update on what the planning commission has been doing and what some of the key issues that they've come across during the course of reviewing the comprehensive plan. But again, the comprehensive plan consists of 10 chapters. We're doing a final review. Last night, the planning commission went through five of the chapters, and the fact that they went through a final review of five of the chapters means there's not many changes left at this point in time, and they still have to go through the balance of these five chapters, or the other five chapters, hopefully next week, and finish this up in the next week or so. But having said that, this Planning Commission has really put its stamp on this particular comprehensive plan. There's been a lot of changes and a lot of issues that they've discussed and a lot of modifications to the plan. And so what I want to begin to do, at least tonight at least, is to allow one of the Planning Commissioners to come up and just kind of give you a sense of the work that they've done and some of the key issues that have been going on during the course of the past 4 months at least. Having said that, Chair Christensen was the one that we had hoped would be here tonight, but he had an unexpected issue at home, so he can't be here tonight, but Commissioner Steve Jensen has kindly offered to come here tonight and give you a little bit of a briefing. And so with that, I'd like to let Commissioner Jensen come on up.
Thank you for leaving this in slot number one. It's kind of weird standing here and not being under the clock and all that. I am representing the Planning Commission tonight with just some brief comments. We started this, as you know, I mean, we've been doing this for a year and a half. Oh, you can start the clock.
I did that on purpose.
I had it going up.
Okay.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I believe it was end of April. Where did my notes go here? It was end of April when the first draft of the COP plan was released. Up to that point, we had been going through all of the goals and the policies around them. You've probably been shown this chart by the consultant, probably on some slide decks. Maybe you've seen it in the book, Chapter 1. For people who haven't seen it, it looks like this. But it basically tells us vision leads to the goals, leads to the policies, and that's how we went through the policies. We get the big book, end of April, 1st of May, and this chart's in there, but this process was gone. They had taken all the policies that we had done and stripped them off of the goals, rearranged them by something called an element, which is apparently a state-mandated piece. I've learned a lot about this now, these state-mandated pieces that are supposed to be what your comp plan is made of, and spread them out in those. And all of our work had vanished, or you know, the process and the thought we had of the work had vanished. So we were set back about a month when we sent that back to the consultant saying, we want these back in this type of a format. So when you get the new one, if you haven't been looking up at the progress along the way, when you get the new one, don't look at the red line version. Don't even ask for it. It won't be worth it. We've been over this thing page by page by page through the whole thing. We were rather light on the park section because they did a good job when they went through it. So we were fairly light on that one. But our big thing was that reorganized. All of the goals are now together with their policies as we were expecting them to be, as the consultant trained us to do the work to do in Chapter 2. I forget who it was that told us when we were first starting this process, Chapter 2 is usually the heart of the comp plan, and now it really is. After we got that reorganized, we went through and we trimmed the fluff out of this thing. There were so many words and paragraphs and stuff, you'd start reading it and fall asleep halfway through a page, and you hadn't learned anything. It was just busy wordiness, and so we've trimmed that all out. These chapters are tight, concise, they get to the point, they tell you what you want to know, so even the average person, we hope the average person could open this up and at least kind of understand what's going on. And so we hope that, you know, some of the key points we've really focused, we initially didn't have a downtown section and you pushed back. We've now put a lot of focus into that new goal that's added for the downtown. Other things we worked on, trying to take out things the cities can't really do, so don't put the words in making it sound like you can do it when you can't, and other refinements like that. So again,
if you, you know, I hope that you'll trust us that we've done a lot of work on this, and that if you want to take it and just give it a glance over, I don't believe you'll find anything wrong with it when you get it. I think you could take it and give a quick look over, give it a vote, and be done. And we can put this to bed. So if you have any questions, I'm certainly willing to answer them now. If not, I'm sure that will come up later when we actually get this thing officially handed to you.
Thank you. Just a second. Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. First of all, again, thank you, Commissioner Jensen, for your time. For one, for coming tonight, filling in.
Okay.
I've been able to sit in a number of times and watch you guys deliberate. And the amount of work and the efficiency, the effectiveness, and the thoroughness that you guys have performed with while you're doing this is unbelievable. I'm just very impressed watching you guys work.
We appreciate that you came out to some of the sessions.
And thank you for that. The long hours, and it's obvious, you know, you guys are getting tired. I mean, the amount of work is amazing, and it's important. It's a once every 10-year process. It's a big deal, and you guys have taken it very seriously. And from that standpoint, I look forward to getting the recommendation that you guys give to us, assuming that will be sometime here pretty soon.
I think the rate would go in a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you say that, the long hours, by the way. We're scheduled, the Planning Commission's schedule is twice monthly. Well, since about May, we've been every week trying to get through this.
Yeah. And yeah, that's not unnoticed either. So from that standpoint, again, just thank you. Thanks for the hard work. I like what I've seen so far, and looking forward to having a non-redlined copy, as you mentioned, that we're done with red lines. Let's see
some of the pictures.
Indeed.
In the traffic section, they had a picture of cars with brake lights. I thought that doesn't look very encouraging. So we picked them on that and said, put four favorable pictures in there.
Well, and even just the maps. And I've heard you guys talk about, you know, some of the maps as well. We talked about some of the maps here as well. It was clear they didn't really understand Monroe. They didn't really know Monroe with some of these initial maps. And
yeah.
Being able to get those changed to record, you know, if someone, any resident of the city picked it up, it's like, you know, they would need to recognize, they should be able to recognize, well, of course, and, you know, this is what we call this part of town, whatever part of town.
Yeah, the central Monroe versus, like, West Monroe. They had
those kinds
all.
Of, it was all kind of messy. So, again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Just want to thank you for your service and for your time. All the commissioners. Really appreciate it. I know you've been working hard, and we're very appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Yes, I just want to add to that. Thank you so much for your time, and especially attention to detail and focusing on making it more user-friendly and making sense, I think, to, you know, the average people to pick that up, and it's more user-friendly. So thank you.
Lighter weight.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
Concise.
Totally.
Okay, any other comments, council members? Do you have anything else to add?
I'm good. I suppose it's a thank you that we've had us get to go through this process, although it's been a rigorous process, but it's good to see it coming to the end.
Absolutely.
And I personally appreciate that you pushed back on the downtown section, because I was happy to help facilitate and make that a full goal with its own policies.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Osaki, anything further? Okay. Thank you both very much.
Thanks.
All right. The next item that we have on our agenda is unfinished business item number 2, AB 15-144, discussion proposed H3O contract amendments. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. First thing I'm going to do this evening is give you a quick overview of where H3O is, what they've done to date, and then I'll dive into the agenda bill and some of the details before us. Since they've been working with the city to look at the options of phasing the project, they've provided a proposed amendment to the contract. That's the red line version you see in your packet this evening. They've updated some of their mapping to show what the phases would look like, what that actually would involve. They've got 4 to 5 potential investors. They've received construction quotes, including the parking lot. That was one of the things that came up when we were looking at phasing, that the parking lot would have to be installed in the first phase because it was a condition of the permits and recommendation from the hearing examiner. And then they've also have a tentative retailer that is interested using the facility, the phase two, for a storefront selling merchandise there. So that's kind of what's happening on the H3O front. As you go through the agenda bill and the council packet, staff and city attorney put a lot of work into this, looking at breaking it into phases and what that means. Because it is such a big project, the contract that we have in place right now was set up for just one phase. So to start breaking it down into two phases really gets complex. We've done that work, or the majority of that work, between staff and the city attorney and myself. We don't wish to go through those details this evening unless council would like to talk to about an executive session. But what we need right now is a decision basically from council how you want to move forward. It's again a kind of a complex issue. If you go down to the staff report at the very bottom, I think it's page 39
yeah, that's what I was on.
That's basically where the meat and potatoes is on this particular matter. And so we've got three alternatives for you this evening to consider and hopefully get some direction on. First and foremost would be the, did everybody get down to that section?
Yes.
I'm still going.
Page 40 actually has the
answer. So the first alternative, because rent is past due, council could start things in motion to terminate the agreement. That would be one alternative. I listed in here where they are on payments, so council has a full understanding of that. We're right on that. If council chooses to move forward on alternative two, basically this would be amend the contract and just have phase one completed. So basically that would be the towers, the parking lot, and you know, a temporary building type thing so the operation can get up and running. That is one alternative we can do because it makes it a lot simpler just to get rid of phase two. It's very complex once you're trying to figure out timelines and when permits expire. That's kind of the toughest thing. Or council can choose to go ahead and do phase one and phase two, and staff and the city attorney will figure out a way to move forward on that. And again, we can talk about those details in a different format.
Councilmembers, Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks, and I appreciate this information, the chance to talk about it again tonight. And if something delves into a conversation where we need to go into a session, just flag me on that. So alternative two seems that that one is, and really appreciate the report, that one is new. I don't think we'd really considered that before. That to me, when looking at that, is new. Not having the, I was just going through, wanted to make sure I was clear on what was not in. That would essentially be not the building, right?
Correct.
Would be if alternative two versus alternative three. You still have to have the parking lot because that's conditional on the permits, which is important.
We would still have the.
It goes down
bond
to I. So J through is essentially J through P. It looked to be the exact same things, except for J through P would be is essentially what alternative three is.
Got it.
Just a second.
Sorry. Yeah. No worries.
So that Brad was explaining that alternative two is actually do it all in one phase.
In one phase, right.
So I was confused on the discussion because we did have the other discussion as well as breaking out and not doing phase two.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, that totally changes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So
what we were trying to do on staff was give you three logical alternatives. The first alternative being to terminate the agreement. And deal with the past payment of past due rent. The second alternative is just keep it as one phase. After we took a look at the schedules and the permits and needing to maybe revise permit applications and all this other stuff, certainly an alternative you would have would be just to keep it one phase and deal with some of the issues like past due rent, deferral of future, and maybe dealing with some of the scheduling issues. So that's what a one phase is with alternative two. You still have the
thank you.
And then alternative three, again, that is what we've been talking about for
okay,
the last couple
you.
Months, which is splitting it into two phases. But it was is when we started looking at the complexities of all the permits and whatnot that it occurred, well, you know, there is this middle ground that could be considered. So
okay.
that's why there are three. There may be other alternatives, but we were trying to come up with sort of three buckets of alternatives that council could consider. Just a second. Gene, did you have anything further?
No, sorry okay. about that.
No worries. Yeah, no, that really helps. that changed. So alternative two again, then being you do everything, it's just one, it's one phase. And just working with, you know, the guys, let's say that they do have all their investors, let's say everything's lined up, or if they're able to get it open first before they build the building, which is essentially kind of what was proposed, you know, the building essentially pays for itself without the rent that comes in. That's the whole scheduled thing, right? Then everything gets built based on the money that comes in, you know, all those kinds of things. That would no longer be the case with phase one, so the building would still need to be... one phase, can you still get it up and running and then do the building later as was proposed, or is that really considered still two phases?
It would all be done just like it was proposed in the original.
So the building still first and then open up later, and so that's what they have here. Okay. All right. The building, again, very important, and it is, personally, I was okay with getting it up and running and have it pay for itself, kind of what they had agreed on. But not having seen this, again, I want to say thanks for all the time and effort that you put in to doing this. And my initial you know, thoughts on this is to go with alternative three, but I certainly want to hear what other council members have to say. Thank you.
Mr. Brazel.
And the timeline that staff included is really telling, and that kind of gets to the point of the phases. If you start looking at the timeline and when the permits expire, with the extension, the possibility of extension, it's not a guarantee that there can be extension. That's where the complexity starts coming in when you try and phase this particular
yeah.
project.
And I guess my other thoughts would be, have they seen, what conversations have we had with them with regard to this, or has there been no conversation with them before, you know, since we've last met? It's been a couple months since everybody's on vacation and whatnot, so...
There's been a lot of conversation.
Okay.
H3O has been in constant conversation with us. In fact,
okay.
I talked with them again today and okay. let them know that everything was in the packet. That's when we said that we couldn't break out the parking lot. We explained why, so they included that in their recent construction bid.
Okay. And so I guess I want to understand the differences between... did we get feedback from them with regard to the different alternatives? I mean, I would assume that three would still be the one that they would choose. It sounds like from a staff standpoint and a timeline standpoint, you know, certainly let's, you know, get it going sooner than later. A one phase thing, you know, get things up and running, starting with the building, of course, first, with the alternative number two. Did they have a chance to weigh in? Have they seen these alternatives? I guess I didn't hear whether or not they'd actually seen what we're seeing tonight with these three.
I mentioned to them today that this was all online and they could look at it.
Okay.
The majority of our conversation has been based around alternative three, phasing the...
Of course, because that's... Yeah.
That's where the concerns and problems come in. It was a
Got
purely
it.
Financial problem of doing it all in one phase, which is why they originally approached us and breaking it up into several phases.
And again, if we can make phase one work, you know, if they've got the people lined up, then, or, I mean, alternative number two and do it in one phase, then of course, I mean, that's the original what we have. Again, working with them, trying to make this thing work, you know, from my standpoint, yeah, it might not be perfect, but, you know, I'd rather see it up and running and get the, and then, make it work. I think it's going to be a big hit, and once it is, I think we're going to see everything that we have realized, that we had planned realized, from that standpoint. So, thank you.
Council members, any other items of discussion? Council member Cadavan?
So I have a couple questions about the contract that's before us, and this is what H3O has submitted. This is what they're submitting. It's a phased approach, one and two, and I know the attorneys looked it over, but I do have some questions about particular sections of the contract.
So I'll let him respond. You still have the floor, Mr. Brazel.
Okay.
it would best to go into executive session to discuss.
That was going to be my question, is maybe since mine pertained to specific sections, can we have an executive session?
Yeah, and one option that we have, and please correct me if if our attorney or Mr. Brazel feels differently, but we could certainly go to discuss direction on this next week. The executive session may take some time, and if you are comfortable with continuing this discussion to next week or the week after, whatever it is council's pleasure, we could go into executive session after council member reports this evening. Like that, we don't have members of the audience sort of sitting here
sure.
for a half hour or longer to go over fine points of legal discussion. is that okay with council?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to...
Excuse me.
What we'll do then... Mr. Lell.
Thank you. If I could, Mr. Mayor,
yes,
for
sir.
The record, just to clarify, the permissible subject for discussion in executive session would relate to legal risk issues pertaining to particular provisions of the agreement and the proposed agreement that would not be appropriate for open session. But the bigger picture policy discussion and the directives arising from that should occur in open session.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. So as long as everybody's clear, are there any bigger picture issues that you would like to discuss now or hold for? Yes. And Councilmember Cutaback, you still
no.
sort of have. Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I mean, my question, and I guess maybe you could answer it, Zach, is just with, is it more appropriate for executive session is around the yellow, you know, the concerns of a contract if we were to go with an extension thing with possibilities of permits that would expire. Is that, I want more of a breakdown on that precedent, that type of stuff.
That actually would be appropriate for open session, to,
okay.
at least as it relates to the time frame issues, getting into legal risk, enforcement, contract breach, and potential litigation arising out of that. That's more appropriate for executive session. But the council is free and frankly should be discussing in open session time frames. If, and I think that's really the core of your issue, if I'm hearing
both.
It correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we're going to talk.
Yeah, you can go
the, yeah, just the time, yeah, the time frame, you know, piece. So that's the, you know, when I'm refreshing my memory from the last time we discussed this around the yellow in regards to the shoreline, because the comment you made actually, you know, Gene, that why I'm asking is that you kind of made the comment when there's no guarantee that an extension would be provided.
Right.
And so what happens? Right. If you have you're under contract, we go with that option, and then they don't get an extension on that permit.
Mr. Brazel, you still have the floor.
A couple things that we are not certain of. Again, some of the permits are out of our control, like the Corps of Engineers permit, and so we aren't positive that's transferable to the city. We're assuming it is, but again, it's a one-time extension, along with the shorelines permit that we have. Again, it's a one-time extension, so...
One-time extension for what duration? Is it specify?
I believe it's 1 year.
One time, 1 year? Okay.
Is
that already included in the yellow, or is that without the yellow?
And you're looking at attachment 5?
That's correct.
Yeah, sorry. Correct.
On page 42
yeah.
for everybody?
If you look
if
at
you're following at home.
If you're following at home, yeah. And sorry.
Correct. If you're looking at the key down there, you'll see the yellow, that's the one-year extension we were talking about. The red is H3O's contract proposal life.
Got it. Yeah, okay. So the yellow is when the extension permits extension period is specifically there's only a 1 year.
Correct.
One time. Okay.
Green
that's the clarification that I didn't know that was the only allotted time for an extension. Got it. Thank you.
And the dates that you see rolled into some of the edits in the packet there are sort of based in part on when the permits expire or when the extensions would likely go to, and you'll see that there's language in there that places a responsibility with H3O to seek extensions and things along those lines.
Correct.
I guess the only, because the phase two construction is around the building and the bioswale, correct? And that would both be under the condition or the shoreline permit? Or is it just the bioswale that would be under the shoreline?
All of it was included in the shoreline permit.
Okay, thanks.
Under one complete application.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions that you want to ask about here? And if it delves into exec session, we'll just let you know. Okay, sounds good. With all that, we will move on. Councilmember Gehring?
Thanks. Could I just ask that we just put this on next week as well?
And yes.
Just, I mean, we're going to, obviously, we have a lot of questions that need to get answered. We're not going to come to most likely a conclusion this week. So
we'll make that an official statement right now, that unless there's disagreement among council members, we'll go ahead and put this under unfinished business for next week's agenda on the 25th.
Perfect.
Does that sound okay with staff?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So for those of you listening at home, there will be a continuation to next week. Okay.
Stealing my line.
I like your line. Copyright. We're going to use it now.
Yeah. Copyright that.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to move on to the next item. Okay, so unfinished business item number 3. This is AB 15-145, discussion utility rates. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you, sir. We discussed this last week, and I've included all the stuff that was in the packet last week, and then at the very end, on page 57 to 57, is the kind of breakdown of what different utility customers would pay over the next few years the council requested. So you can see that there's the bigger increase happens between 2015 and 2016, and then there's small increases for the next years. It's not huge increases each year, except for a multi-family, which has about a 30% decrease the first year, and then it goes up a little bit each year after that. So if you have any questions, then Mr. Mayor, I would be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Council members, do you have any questions? Councilmember Gamble.
Remind me, and then we were going to look at a broader all fees in. When were we going to look at?
That was when you asked about the transportation impact fees. Then that's scheduled for 1st of September.
Right. These are utility rates.
Utility rates.
Yeah, the impact, the GMA based impact fees. That's in September.
Yeah, I guess I should have been more. I was thinking all in. That's
You definitely said all in. But I thought we had scheduled that for September.
Yeah,
for no, they said they couldn't be done this week with the
information. That's right.
So right. These are utility rates. Unless you're looking at CFCs.
When you're talking exactly. That's what's in there, and that's included in the build fee. So that's why I was thinking that way. But I understand why I wasn't clear on that.
Okay.
For the 25th.
Okay.
I thought we were on the 1st.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I was thinking more in line on the, not the capital impact fees, the new.
Just the development charges.
There you go.
You keep changing the words on this. Okay. Council members, do you have any questions about the utility rates that staff has brought forward? Council member Cutterback?
Yeah, no questions, just for clarity, last week Brada was pretty clear on the sanitary sewer and what I felt and how it dovetails with what you gave us. It's my only issue is just looking at that 1B, the charge, either 68.50, the 55.6% for the water. So that's the only thing I'm still debating over with this whole issue. When did you need direction by? Wasn't it
first of
September? Next week. Okay.
Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to voice my concern about that increase in the water. Mm-hmm. That's just an astronomical increase. I don't have any alternative answers. I just am blown away. Thank you.
Brad, are there any alternatives that you can think of that would address that concern about the increase?
No, I mean, that's in order to maintain our water systems required by state law, that is basically what's needed for the system improvements that are needed to replace our aging infrastructure.
All right, council members, what would you like to do? Any further discussion? Do you want this brought back next week? If it's brought back next week, what additional information can we bring you?
I don't need any additional information, just another week, to be honest.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I know. I kind of feel the same way. I know. But, you know, I guess the one I was looking at more was the 40, you know, obviously you look at the 40% one, or 40, 48, wasn't it? Trying to find what slide it was on.
Page 55, the approach A versus approach B.
Yeah, that's it.
Too many slides.
Yeah, it was a 40%.
Mr. Brazel?
I think I'm looking at the wrong one.
I just want to expand on a little further on Mr. Feilberg is speaking of. Council may remember earlier this season we had a citizen that came in and their home was flooded for a fourth time due to a broken water line.
That's right.
Again, this is infrastructure that the city needs to address eventually. The majority of the pipes are well over 50 years old. And if you don't replace that stuff, it breaks and floods people's homes. So I just wanted to remind you of that.
Council members, any other questions, direction? Okay, what we'll do then is we'll go ahead and we'll put this on to next week's agenda under unfinished business. Is there any opposition to that? Okay, if you have any other information that you would like or need, please contact me and Mr. Brazel by tomorrow afternoon. Certainly we can get you information after that, but it's easier for us to prepare things for the packet if we get the information by tomorrow afternoon. Sound good? Okay.
That's as good as you're going to get.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking around. That's good. All right. We're going to go ahead and move to the next item on the agenda that was just added at the beginning, which is regarding the lobbyist contract. Councilmember Cutaback?
Yes. Based on Administrator Brazel's email that came out last Thursday, and I know we discussed this topic a couple weeks ago, and I think in remembering council discussion, the tenor seemed to be it would be much better if we had more applicants, you know, had a pool that we could then compare and contrast. I know that in hiring, it always helps to have a bigger pool and to be able to compare the candidates. So I am aware that we've only received one applicant, and based on our conversation a couple weeks ago and Administrator Brazel's email that came out on Thursday saying that we do seem to have another interested party, but according to RFP process, it's been closed, and that one of our options, as you stated in the email, was to reopen the process so we could see if we know we have another interested party. There might be even more interested parties out there. So I think that benefits us. I don't think we have to wait till next week for the Legislative Affairs Committee to look at it. So I'm really proposing, and if I need to form a motion, maybe after discussion I will, to reopen the RFP process and see if we can get some more applicants.
Thank
choosing, you read it. So choosing our lobbyists, as I heard from a couple of people tonight, is a really important step for us. And you know, with capital projects, the reputation of the city, just what's going on at the state level, I think it's very important to take that time. And if we have the option of getting more applicants, we need to take it. So based on Councilmember Hanford's encouragement, I will make a motion to open up the RFP process.
Second.
Again.
Okay, I have first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes. So for clarification, the purpose of the Legislative Committee's meeting next week was to evaluate the one applicant, and staff has already done their evaluation. That's my understanding. And then we were going to evaluate to make sure that that they qualify. Was that correct?
Somebody acknowledge Mr. Brazel. You still have the floor, Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. That's correct. I intentionally did not review it. I had a staff member do it, so I would not be biased because I will sit in on the review with the legislative committee.
Okay.
If council chooses to reopen, I would recommend throwing out the existing bids we've received or proposals we've received, start the process all over, would be the appropriate way.
Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor?
Yes, so thank you for the clarification. So with that said, then I would say agree that we should start the process over, cancel the legislative committee meeting for next week because the whole purpose was to evaluate the one applicant and then evaluate whichever applicants apply all in one together. That'd be my thought. I have it's irritating to hear comments from citizens about the sins of fathers and fathers and sons following each other, and it's just extremely frustrating. I have nothing against the Minnick organization that applied. I'm definitely looking forward to reviewing that, but I'm also interested in hearing from former Representative Armstrong, who we didn't have a clue about until tonight. So I wish that could have been done sooner, but that's just how life happened. So I look forward to reviewing all and any applicants for the position.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Question. So did we advertise it was AWC, Ever Herald, Mineral Monitor? Is that correct?
Ask the
Ms. Smoot.
Ms. Smoot. So we had two different periods.
Yes.
It was open for a total of 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first time period, we did the Monroe Monitor, our website. And then for the second round, we expanded to also include the Everett Herald, Seattle Times, and then also forwarded it to AWC. So we're trying to reach a little bit broader of an audience.
That was for the second period.
For the additional month, that is correct.
The additional month. What month was that?
I believe that the first round ended at the end of June, maybe June 6th, and then the second round is extended for another 30 days, so it ended July 28th.
Okay. I stated my view on this before when we talked about it. I don't ever like to look at any contract with only one person. So I was actually surprised not to see Representative Armstrong, because actually it was not just tonight that we learned of the services. I think Fred was in here months ago and was talking about, so I was surprised not to see something. So I more, was very much listening to the comments of why it was missed during the time period, and just kind of looking at where it was advertised and maybe the time period it lines up a little bit with vacations. I don't know. But I know last time we talked, I had asked.
Be session, and they extended the legislative
correct.
Session, right?
Yeah. And then the other question I had asked last time is, hey, had we reached out to any of the other cities? How did they go about securing their services? Did we get any response back on that?
Mr. Brazel?
I was waiting for direction before I called to start asking that, because if you remember, I had asked that question several months ago of probably six or eight cities that I happen to be with, and mm-hmm. the majority of those cities have used the same lobbyists for years, so they haven't gone out for RFPs in a long time.
Sure. And what firm do they use, or what the lobbyist firm do they use? Do you know?
I don't, but I can get all that detail.
Yeah, that's really what I'm looking for, too, is that also something that we would be willing to actually target known lobbyist firms and send off the RFP. That was the other question I had. What beyond just advertising the paper, can we do that? That's something that I would do in public sector, is that, we all agree we have a need for this service. How do we get the best candidate pool, to look at to make sure that we're represented well? And if there's proven commodities out there that we know of, I would think we would want to let them know, hey, we're interested in request for a proposal back from you. That would be my other thing. So, yeah, I'm absolutely in favor, and we'll be voting that way.
Thank you. Councilmember Garing.
No, thank you. I want to make sure that if we're going to go down this route, that the people who have already applied, if that application can just be thrown in into the new RFP if we're going to do that. It seems kind of silly to have somebody redo when they were the only people who applied before. We already have it. In some sense, it might make sense for the committee to evaluate it anyway next week if we're going to vote tonight. We already have one in. It just knocks one thing off the list. Now, that might not be the best way to do it. We have somebody who followed the process, responded, and it's only one. And I'm all about having a big pool. I think that is the right thing to do. I just think it could kind of look a little bit bad from that standpoint. So I don't know if that can just we reopen the RFP and we already have one, and then we wait for everybody else, and then they can be evaluated all at the same time, as Councilmember Hanford said. I don't know if that's a possibility or not. It's a couple additional comments. I don't know.
Mr. Brazel?
Gene, if you have comments on that.
Past practice, we do not do that. All of them will get thrown out, the one we have, and everybody has to resubmit, or the one we have has to resubmit, new date, new deadlines.
In which case, what was already submitted could just be resubmitted again from that standpoint.
If what they choose.
And that's a good point, and I appreciate that. So that's a good point. I do think having a bigger pool, it was strange only to get one from that standpoint. I also want to agree with Councilmember Hanford. I think it's unfortunate that that people, while it is their right during citizen comments, come and falsely slander people. It is a bummer that people choose to do that and make false statements and things like that. And I appreciate the fact, you know, how we as a body have, you know, been above that, and it's important to consider every application fairly, regardless of what name may or may not be attached to it. So it sounds like doing it this way still does that, and in that instance, I can support it.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I just, again, want to voice my support for reopening this up and hopefully getting a bigger pool of candidates to review. Kind of tailing off of Councilmember Gamble's comments in regards to who this was advertised, the RFP initially advertised. If this goes through and we reopen this back up, can you tell us kind of what, are we still looking at a 1 month time frame, and are we going to go through?
That's what I was just noting to him. Mr. Brazel, do you still have the floor? Mr. Brazel?
That's what I would do, and then go ahead and re-advertise in the same places we did before, AWC, the Seattle Times, Everett Herald, locally in our paper, and put it back on our website. And certainly if anybody has any other ideas, we would do that. Reaching out to particular vendors and consultants is kind of plagued with pitfalls, because if you miss somebody, there could be problems there, so we typically do not do that as a city. But certainly if somebody wants to mention that, consultants, it's totally appropriate.
Okay. Anything further? Councilmember Rasmussen, you still have the floor.
That's all I had. Thank you.
There's a motion on the floor. If the motion goes through, our intent then would be to issue it for another 30 days. So if you disagree with that, I just need to know that before you make the motion so we can... Councilmember Hanford?
I agree with that, but I just wanted to say, if once we do this, if we could please notify the applicant, mm-hmm. and let them know,
yes.
what we've done, and that all they need to do is resubmit the same thing so that they understand that it's very simple. We're not looking for all new information, so... Thank you.
Will do.
Agreed. Thanks.
All right. There being no other discussion on this topic, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We'll go on to the next item on the agenda. This is new business item 1, AB 15-146, discussion, fireworks regulations. Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This fireworks regulation was brought up on July 7th, and several council members asked for a discussion on this item. We have attached four attachments that hopefully you've taken a look at. If I remember correctly, the council was leaning towards perhaps establishing some type of emergency provision if there was a fire danger. rather than an outright ban. I might be wrong. You can change that in your discussion if that's correct. But one thing I would remind you of when you're discussing this, that the local rules may be effective no sooner than 1 year from their adoption. You can have a more restrictive local rule, but it won't become effective. And I believe in this case, if we're looking at the 4th of July, it'd be 4th of July 2017. So we have provided two attachments that from Douglas and San Juan counties that do have this emergency provision in it. And in both, if I remember correctly, the determining factor or decision maker was the county fire marshal.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp. I'm sorry, cut it back.
How?
There was a C there.
CK.
Okay, CK, there you go. Oh. I'm sorry.
Chief, thank you for all the information. It was really helpful. And I asked for this, Councilmember Hanford and I asked for this to come back just to kind of look at our ordinance. And I'm not in favor of an outright ban, but I am in favor of looking at just having the flexibility that if there is an emergency, because currently we don't have that in our code. So I saw in the two examples that you provided that both of them do have prohibition due to extreme fire danger and fireworks emergencies restriction on sale and use. So those sections interest me in looking at just providing us some flexibility in case of an emergency. Both of those have the fire marshal make that decision, so that seems to be the standard. Is there any other options, Chief, that you came up with or saw besides the fire marshal?
No, the only thing that I would say, thinking about that particular issue, is that perhaps the fire marshal could approach the city council and get a final approval from the city council on something like that. Okay. So you have the expert advising you what he thinks he or she thinks should be done.
Okay.
And it should also be done, hopefully, no sooner than a month, no sooner or no later than like June 4th, something like that, because these companies go out and that sell nonprofits that sell fireworks and purchasing fireworks, and if you're going to ban the sale of fireworks because of fire danger, it would be sad if they invest a lot of money in it and not be able to sell yeah. fireworks.
Now, neither of these ordinances, they don't have a date listed, is it?
No.
So you're thinking that there should be a date. That kind of limits our flexibility, possibly, but.
It's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
We have a lot of nonprofits with fireworks stands in the city of Monroe, and I hate to see them expend a lot of money and not be able to recoup that.
And then the comment that was brought up tonight about the aerial fireworks, do you have any feedback, recommendations, comments on any of that banning?
We have our regulations. Our regulations state that you have to use safe and sane fireworks.
Right.
And some of those are aerial, and I think we should stick with our regulations the way they are.
With that. And then there was an email that was submitted, a letter talking about the time of sale, you know, mm-hmm. lessening that. So didn't know if you had any feedback on, I think we have 10 days right now and lessening it to 7 days we have right now, lessening it to, I think the
four.
Request was four. Any thoughts on that as we discuss this?
I'm not in the business of selling fireworks, so I didn't see what the problem was. We, as a city, we don't have a problem with the number of days that we sell the fireworks. And it was mentioned that there's a fire inspection. Well, that's required if they sell it for one day
exactly.
or 7 days. And we haven't had a problem with, really with a problem with theft or anything like that. So
okay.
It's one business person's opinion.
Sure. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Chief, in regards to the aerial fireworks, you said that it's in our code that they're allowed to some extent. I'm not seeing that in the code that was included.
The term I use, safe and sane, probably isn't in. I'm referring to legal fireworks.
Okay.
And there are legal fireworks that go up in the air.
Okay.
And those are established by the state of Washington through the state patrol, if I remember correctly.
And we adopted those regulations.
Okay. So when you're saying that even though we can't put in even a temporary ban, or we have to wait that year, the year to put in a temporary ban, if that's something council ultimately decides, but we can tighten up our current code, does tightening up aerial fireworks fall within that, even though I recognize it's not your recommendation or the city's recommendation, but is that it fall under that?
You're referring to legal aerial fireworks.
Correct.
And that would be a tighter ban than what the state of Washington has, and you would have to wait for 2017.
Okay, so that would require that 1 year mm-hmm. period as well. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I would have, if this was something like this was going to be done, there would have to be dates. There's a lot of nonprofits, the point that was made. A lot of people do, a lot of good folks in town who do good things use this as a revenue generating thing. I love fireworks in town, and it's always unfortunate when we had some real bummer. People lost their homes, and that is, I can't even describe the tragedy associated with that. And it was also awesome to see the great way that the community rallied around a lot of those folks, and that was amazing as well. From that standpoint, I'm trying to, we would do a little bit of the talk of tightening up, and I think maybe a little bit more discussion around this in the weeks ahead. I'm initially resistant to that and just kind of trying to figure out why that rubs me the wrong way. Just some of the fountains and stuff that shoot up. I mean, you start getting into heights and things like that. What's aerial? And I just don't think that's something that we want to. I understand the sentiment behind it. Just my initial reaction is, man, that's not something we want to be delving into, because then it's, who's going to police something that goes, oh, well, that went over 10 feet, that kind of a thing. You start to get into stuff that we've got better time. I don't think we have a problem with that. Legal fireworks are legal fireworks. I'm not in favor of an outright ban, but I am, how do you legislate common sense? And the bottom line is you can't, and people are going to be dumb regardless of the weather. And so what can we do with regard to that? And I'm not clear that making a bunch of changes here to legal fireworks are going to stop people who are going to make poor decisions from making poor decisions. People are still going to go to the reservation, and they're still going to light off stuff, regardless of whether or not it's illegal. And I don't have a solution for how you deal with that. There's not a way for us to legislate that. We can't have our police department running around. It'd be great if there was. We just can't do that. We can't do that. Water your roof, water your grass. That's all the things I did this, making sure it was as moist as possible on the fourth. From that standpoint, illegal fireworks are already illegal. Don't see a need for a change there. If we were going to have to, let's say it was the council, we implement something where the council would say, at this year we can really tell. But even then, if it's a month out, you have to have some sort of a date, because there are people who are investing money in this to bring this to town, legitimate folks, who want to, have some fun. You're hurting businesses necessarily. If there isn't enough leeway to say, okay, in the state of Monroe, we're not going to do that this year. Let's say you do that June 1st. Who's to say the weather doesn't change by July 1st? And so there's this kind of, the more I think about it, it just gets messier. And I wanted it to be something, as we were looking at the topic, I wanted it to be something simple. And it's just not. And the more I think about it, well, if you change this, but then we've got that. And then I'm like, oh, man.
I don't necessarily on its face see a need for a change to what we have here, but if we're going to talk about an emergency provision, something that would take place in 2017, there has to be enough leeway at the beginning. And I know Councilmember Tedlake talked about flexibility. There has to be flexibility for the legitimate folks who want to set up a stand and the good folks we have here in town who do that, you know, for their fundraising, for them to understand what we're not going to be able to do that this year. So that they can plan otherwise. So that would really need to take that into serious consideration with, you know, you can't pull the plug on July 1st. Sorry, 4 days from now, you know, you're done. That's just not fair. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So the way I look at this is we've got time.
Yes.
Discuss this. Because I think it's responsible to have a good conversation about this and really kind of look at some of the, I'm a data guy, so I start looking at, okay, well, you know, we did have a couple of unfortunate incidents this year. What's the average on a yearly basis? From what I recall, it happens unfortunately, on a yearly basis. We lose a home in the Snohomish County area, you know, in the surrounding vicinity. It's either damaged by fireworks or something to that degree. I'm probably getting my years mixed up, but I know it's, you know, it's on the news on a regular basis. I just would kind of want to see some data in that regard. The other questions I have are, you know, we've got a couple examples. One, Gene, are those the only two? There's obviously more than just Douglas County and San Juan that have an emergency ban potential in place. Is that, no, just those two only?
We got the information from the Municipal Research Center.
So only Douglas County and San Juan. I think it's Snohomish County doesn't have one. I thought.
Correct, they do not.
Okay. My question would be on that is, it sounded like you wanted to say something.
No, I'm just positioning myself. Thank you.
For the long winter days.
That's great. I guess, you know, the immediate thing I look at is when I see that is, okay, well, hey, how often has that been used? Okay, if they've had it in place for a while, how often has it been used in the other areas? Has it made a difference? Has putting a temporary, you know, ban in place made a difference? So the question around, you know, hey, how often does it happen? Do we lose a home, or is there damage to property because of a firework? Is there any difference to those areas that do have a ban in place? One, that would be the other thing, is that there's a lot of ones that just outright ban, right? What are the difference in those facilities? To the comment made earlier around those that are purchased in, you know, at the reservation or even in a neighboring city that sells safe and, you know, safe and sane. So I would be interested in that. These are all, we have a lot of time to discuss it, so, you know, we could probably humor a little bit of data collection, you know, on this one. Let's see, how often, well, then the other question I had for you, sorry, I got you smiling.
He's thinking of all the work he has to do.
His football team's not going to be good this year, so he's going to have all kinds of time, right?
Yep, we do.
Well, and I do, I think you made the comment around, you know, the potential where the chief, if you did go down this road, that, you know, that's the other thing. On the other two, Douglas County and San Juan, do they, and maybe it said it in there specifically, is that something that they do, they present to the council or the county council, they just make the decision?
Just a state fire marshal.
Okay, because the one thing that, I mean, obviously the instant thing that I thought of, and I mean, I haven't lit off a firework since I was, you know, probably a teenager. I think it's like, well, you might as well light a $20 bill on fire, but there's a lot of people that really, really love it, and I'm not going to get in the way of that. Because, you know, obviously the first thing that comes up is, you know, hey, if you get a chief that, you know, of course, I'm going to cancel it every year because I think it's inherent, you know, danger. So there is a piece of me that thinks that, yeah, we should look down that lane where we actually have a presentation. Here's the forecast. Here's what we're, you know, we're looking at. Here's where we're at from a staffing perspective. A whole host of different things. So I would love to get more information on this and have further discussion on it, because any action that we take, I mean, really, the timeline I'm looking at is between now and May, June of next year, we're going to take any sort of action.
Got time.
And again, the Ducks are going to be terrible this year, so you got all kinds of time, Chief.
Yeah, we got that quarterback from issue one.
Yeah, that's
good. Vernon Davis, he's a good
one. Anything further?
No.
All right. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So the main reason that I had supported Councilmember Kovac was to talk about it and to find out really all this information. I've spoken with several different people from different areas who said over in Idaho where they were from, it was dry as a bone every summer. They never had any restrictions on fireworks, and people just, you know, they knew, okay, we got to be careful. I've talked to people from the Southern California, Arizona border area there where there's no restrictions, but they just don't light them off because the Santa Ana winds come through and they know that they could lose everything, so they just don't light them off. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've had enough discussion, but I'm open to discussing more. My opinion is that everything pretty much Councilor Nogarian said about the fires that happened, and you know, we're sorry that that happened, but people are going to make dumb decisions, and whether they're legal or illegal or 11 feet high or, you know, 9 feet high. And so my opinion is we leave it as is. Now we know what our, you know, where our boundaries are, so that if next year it's really dry, we can say, yeah, we looked at that, we know what the regulations are, and we don't feel it's worth messing with people's rights and things like that. So that's it.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
Oh, and all I would say is that I tend to agree with you, but I think that we have enough time that we should be able to look at actual hard data as opposed to just our gut feelings on the issue and talking to people, because I mean, I've lived in Eastern Washington on two different occasions, same thing, you just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
To tell us whether or not we're right, but you know, does it really make a difference? Okay. We should be able to get hard data to tell us. You might be surprised, you never know.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I'm hearing a diversity of opinion. I would like to know, is this something that council would like to be brought back? I heard folks talk about June 4th, 30 days prior. I heard folks talk about fire marshal recommendation to council, and I heard folks talk about wanting more data, and everybody recognizing that we have until July 3rd of 2016 to make a decision because of the way the law works. Councilmember Gehring.
I think this is a great agenda topic for the first meeting in January.
Okay.
Nice.
Is there,
that's called passing the buck.
Oh, I won't be here then. No, I'm sorry. No.
So we'll schedule this for December 31st.
Special session.
Yeah.
Every track does
get me up. Okay, fine with the discussion is what I'm saying. I'm fine with the discussion.
Okay.
I'm here now.
Councilmembers, there's research here to be done and everything. Would you like this brought back? Would you like this brought back in that December-January timeline? What would you all like?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm hearing head nods. Yes. Let's bring it back for discussion later this year or early next year. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah. Just a couple comments. I mean, the reason I want to bring it back is, you know, I had it. There was enough chatter out there, and there was
absolutely
enough discussion.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And I think anytime we have people questioning or asking and us looking into it, this was a way to look into what our ordinance says. And for me, not ban fireworks, but to have some sort of flexibility in case of an emergency. You know, to be honest, I'm not really interested in looking at the aerial and the height and all that, but I like flexibility in an ordinance to be able to go in times of an emergency, because they do come up, mm-hmm. that we're just prepared to have that clause in there, because it does take a full year. So, you know, that was my intent to bring it back. But so I would love it to come back and just have a, we've got time. So if people need more data to make a decision on how we move forward, I'm all in favor of that.
Okay.
Good news, Chief.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess I just need to clarify my comments based off what I'm hearing. So definitely all in support of looking at having the discussion of a possible emergency exception. There was a comment made of
you know, tightening up our current code. And simply, that's part of the discussion, that if there's something that can that we can do that doesn't ban it and kill the fireworks, but, you know, allows us to do things a little more diligently and offer that, then we should at least have the discussion about that. So that's all the discussion or the comments were about. So
very good. Appreciate it.
All right. So what we will do is we will schedule this for mid-January then, and we will circle back around probably in early January to make certain that we have the scope of the information we're going to be bringing back, since that's 5 months out. Okay? All right. We will now proceed on to council member reports. Councilmember Gearing.
Loving the stuff going on this summer. And bummer about the rain last weekend. And movies under the moon getting canceled, but I still love all the stuff that's going on. And I think there's, and Una's been putting stuff out there again as well, trying to get the Heart to Heart concert here Thursday night. So if you've seen that, there's a GoFundMe one for that, which is cool. And that band sounds awesome. I've never heard them before, but they sound sweet. And so I definitely want to keep the good things that have been rolling in town rolling. And I certainly hope that one works out. Thanks.
Before we move on, since Councilmember Gearing brought up the concert, I did get a phone call from the chamber earlier this evening before council started, and at this point it sounds like they're about $1,500 short. She's going to need to make a decision by tomorrow morning, so just FYI, if there are any folks out there that want to make contributions between now and early tomorrow, mid-morning, early morning, is the sort of the last bit to try to bring those funds together. Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, so football jamboree was talking about was this last weekend. Bearcats, Monroe Faithful represented well in Snohomish. Both the 89ers and the juniors went undefeated during the weekend. Great time, great event. There was this some soccer thing going on there that was... were you there at that? Because I think all of Snohomish County was either there or at Snohomish High School. But anyways, great time. I do want to just make a comment, just say thoughts and prayers with those in the Chelan area. We went over this last weekend just to make sure our place was okay over there. Just the amount of devastation over there is just unbelievable, and how fast that took off, pretty smoky. And I would just, you know, put the thing out there too, that once this thing is passed, that the police go back, because there's a lot of small businesses, you know, that are over there, that this is right in the peak of a tourist season. So if you had any plans, make sure and keep them. That's the point from a lot of the folks over there, that once this thing is done. It was great, and I think when the first high school football game coming up here next, I think Friday, next Friday night. So we'll be back at it. We're up at the high school tonight, and it's a missed practice tonight. Boys are under the lights tonight, so it's all good.
Cool. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Spent last week back home, Twin Falls, Idaho. A lot of fun seeing the family, and I was in a sick sort of way, kind of excited, because when I got down there, and I've been keeping tabs on the city via social media, and they're actually going through a big downtown revitalization as well, including wider sidewalks. So played around downtown talking to one of the businesses I used to work at when I was a young kid, and talking to the owner down there and the employees, and all those businesses very supportive of it, and it's going to look phenomenal down there. So Splash Park concert stage, I mean, it's going to be incredible. And they're actually getting involved with their starting their comp plan process, and so somehow got my father to attend one of the community meetings to go over and get him to voice his thoughts. And an hour later, he walked out of there saying he was good. So pretty exciting. But it is really cool to see that, and the similarities to what we're going through here, and you know, I guess know that we're not alone. Got home missed last week because of that, but got to throw kudos to staff, Parks Department for the first Movies Under the Moon. It was a great show, huge crowd. I think this last Friday it was probably the Seahawks game that was the result of the cancellation, but we'll call it the weather. And but looking forward to this Friday.
Rainy bad.
Yeah. Today, actually, drove to the chamber office to offer my support for Music in the Park and got to see West Main Street for the first time. The sidewalks looks amazing, and it was busy down there. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was probably some of the busiest I've seen it in a long time, so it was great to see. It looks awesome down there, so I'm excited. That's it.
Cool. Councilmember Cutterback.
Ribbon cutting still this
yes.
Saturday? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, this Saturday. Asking folks to show up between 10:30 and 10:45. We'll do the ceremony about 11.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes. Was really looking forward to the movie in the park Friday night and got rained out. So, but yeah, just wanted to. Some of you probably heard on the radio or saw on the news about a gentleman by the name of Rob Tilkey, who was the Vern Funk guy, passed away a couple days ago from cancer. And he was a friend of mine and family friend, and so he was very active in several different things, and just sent our condolences to him or to his family. So. Other than that, that's it.
Thank you. Back to staff, Mr. Worthen. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, it's too bad, right? last Friday, the movie. This Friday is Guardians of the Galaxy. It's another fine movie showing. And hopefully the rain stays away. It's all circles in the morning, so hopefully that goes away. And then Saturday, yes, 11 a.m. at the northeast corner of Main Street is that ribbon cutting ceremony.
And they did get the 50 by 70 right yards, not it's all fixed. It's great.
That would have been a surprise, 15 feet. Okay. Anything further? Okay, great. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Mr. Osaki? Okay, thank you. Chief?
September 19th, the police department will be playing the Red Menace again. And we invite you all for a good cause.
Is it Miracle League? Where is the?
It's at the high school, right?
At the high school, yeah.
Oh, the
police
high school.
Okay, fire flag football.
We should have city council play.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we only have 2 8 cards.
One's for you.
Yeah, that's true.
And for the second year in a row, my daughter will be singing the national anthem.
That's all right.
Mr. Feilberg.
Nice. Main Street's pretty well wrapped up. The boulder covers with the west half of the missing ones on the east half are back ordered. They're supposed to be shipped on the 1st of September, so they'll be appearing soon. Work continues on Turn Place. They've run into lots of clay, and so if you drove by, it's a big muddy mess up there right now since it rained. But they've been keeping the streets clean, so that's good. So they're just working away up there, having a good time. So that's all I have.
Thank you. For me, yeah, the 8/22, so Saturday, we've got the ribbon cutting. I think somebody from Department of Ecology is going to be there. We've also invited folks from the state, so legislators, senator, and so on. I think we've already mentioned the Music in the Park tomorrow. I think that's all I have right now. Am I missing anything? Oh, Republic Services for the planters.
Yeah.
Republic Services will also be invited. They are donating the new planters that you already see out there, and we're really excited to have those new planters, as we discussed, last year or so. They look really good, and so they'll be there too. And is there anything further? Okay. Gene, why don't you go through your stuff?
Okay. Agenda for Tuesday, August 25th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we have Snohomish County Executive John Lovick, and confirmation of Planning Commission appointment. Consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we have discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. We're discussing impact fees, continuing discussion on H3O, and continuing discussion on utility rates. Under new business, we will be approving, potentially approving, the flag policy. And the Legislative Affairs Committee has been canceled. And then a land sale update.
Does anybody have anything further for next week's agenda? For the extended agenda?
Any additions or deletions?
Oh, got short. Oh, it's on this.
Where's the other side?
Yeah, let me know if this works for you. We're doing a doing this because it's easier to print out and everything. So. All right. If there's nothing further for the extended agenda or the agenda, we do have a need for an executive session this evening. And this is under potential litigation, RCW 4230.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection double little I. We'll have staff stay, so Mr. Feilberg, Mr. Farrell, who else? Do we need anybody else? Do we need community development? Okay. So those two folks, and we'll go ahead and go into executive session initially for 20 minutes. There is the potential for action, if nothing else, for adjournment at the end. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, we're back in session from executive session. The time right now is 9:53. Do I have a motion, Councilmember Hanford?
Move to extend past 10 o'clock.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to extend past 10 o'clock. Any discussion on the motion? Before we vote, let the record show that Councilmember Gehring is not here. He had to leave just before we reconvened to regular session. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 4-1 with Councilmember Cutaback voting against extending past 10. We will now return to executive session with potential for action following executive session pursuant to the section we already cited. We will be in executive session for approximately 10 minutes. Okay, we're back in session. Is there a motion? Councilmember Hanford?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
I have a first to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Bam, bam.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Have a great evening.